Ah, Brent likes to live dangerously. That's all right. All right, a couple things I want to share. I meant to read this morning and didn't. Just a little thank you from the Hudson family. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful Sunday here. The Remembrance Day service was just, again, just exceptional. And this isn't about puffing ourselves up, but wow, what a blessing that God gets to, that we get to have the Lord work through us the way that we do. And last Sunday was just another demonstration of that, and it was such an encouragement to me, and it's nice to come to church and feel ministered too, and that's exactly what happens, and that's exactly the way I felt last Sunday, and you know, I was ministered to, and I had one individual just share how much of a blessing it was to them in their 83 years, the best Remembrance Day service that they recall, and I praise the Lord for the privilege that we, again, get to minister. And then following that, we had a baptism service, and we had the privilege of baptizing four believers from a church in Ontario. And what a blessing to see their family come and celebrate with them and observe and learn and hear the reasons for their baptism. And so it was a wonderful opportunity and just a really good day all around. Just a little thank you note from the Hudson family. Thank you so much, church, for welcoming us and making our baptism such a meaningful and memorable day. We're deeply grateful for your love, hospitality, and ministry. So that was from the Hudson family and comes with a card and a little gift. And so what a blessing to be able to serve the Lord the way that we get to. And one other thing I mentioned this morning I want to read before I take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 this evening. And that's an email that was forwarded to me through Brother Dave Smith, and an email that he got from a pastor in Cuba. So, as I mentioned this morning, I just want to read this email. It's not very long. He says this to Dave Smith. We are here sustained by the grace and mercy of God. My brother, once again, we thank you for your timely help and assistance. At this moment, the situation in our nation has become more critical. And after Hurricane Melissa, which affected the eastern provinces, including ours, the crisis has worsened. People are dying from deadly viruses, from the weaknesses caused by lack of food and medicine, from the impotence of the regime, and I say this with fear, the hospitals are overwhelmed, and those who die are being buried without a wake. Every day is more difficult. Our parishioners are asking for food and medicine, and we have run out. We have no resources to help, and we are clinging to God and crying out to Him day and night. The hope of Cuba is Jesus. There is no other way. Once again, we ask for your support with medicine. These are what we need, and there follows a list of the items that we're already familiar with. We'll find our box, and on it has that sheet with these items on there, or the same, pretty much the same list. These are the medications being prescribed for the various symptoms at this time. Brothers, we are overwhelmed with sorrow, but God has placed you like angels in our lives. Heaven will repay you for all the good you do for us. Hebrews 6:10, Shalom, your servants in Cuba. So, again, it's incredible. We live in a day and age where we can be in real time updated as to the challenges of another church and believers in another nation on the other side of the globe, or I guess not the other side, but pretty far from us. So let's pray for Cuba. Let's pray for not only the churches and the pastors, but for the people. Because often in times of disaster, the Lord will draw others to Him. And it's through the church and through their kindness and through their love and the distribution of different aid that they receive that others come to know Christ through those demonstrations of love and service. So let's pray for the people of Cuba, and let's pray for the churches as well and the pastors and those that are being ministered to, those who are ministering, and for their needs over there. So anyway, keep their needs in mind. As I said, we'll likely get the box out, and as the Lord leads, if you want to give and donate as we have in the past, then please do that. So keep them in your prayers for sure. So just a couple of things before we start this evening. I'm going to ask this evening before we begin for a word of testimony. If there is someone here tonight that would like to share maybe something that God has encouraged you with, verse of scripture, a word of testimony, a praise note, just anything at all, we'll take a couple of minutes to do that. I think it's good from time to time to hear the testimonies that we have. It's not an opportunity to gloat or to gossip. It's an opportunity, as we know, just to give God thanks, publicly declaring Christ and just saying, look, this is what God has done. And there's a reason tonight specifically why I'm asking for testimonies, because we're gonna talk a little bit about them. But I'm going to pray, give us a minute just to think. If anybody out there would like to share, you're welcome to do that here in just a moment. But let me pray and ask for God's blessing and help in our time together. Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity again to gather in your house tonight. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for the busyness, Lord, that we get to serve you in the many different ways that we do here. Thank you so much, Lord, for all of the behind-the-scenes work that takes place that, Father, you know about. Thank you for the ministries in the nursing homes, Lord, even today. We are blessed that we can be a part of different ministries, whether it's on a ball hockey rink or, Father, in a grief share session around the table in a prayer meeting night, or, Lord, sitting in someone's home or in a nursing home or however we get to serve you. Thank you for these different opportunities, God. There are so many needs out there. And so we just praise you, Lord, for using us. We do think of Cuba tonight, and we pray, Lord, that you would just encourage those believers there. We pray for the nation of Cuba. We pray for salvation. We pray that the gospel would take hold in a mighty way and do a mighty work in that nation. And we pray for our brothers and sisters tonight in those churches over there, for those pastors. We ask, God, that you would minister to them, meet their needs, Lord, help them, and, Lord, use us as you see fit. We thank you for your word this evening and that we can testify of your love and of your grace and of your strength in our lives. And God, as we take a look at Samuel this evening, we just pray that you would remind us in some way that each of us has something to give you praise and thanks for. And so, God, we just do that even now. We thank you for the day, for your love, and we ask for your blessing in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody have maybe a word of testimony this evening, a praise note, something you might like to share?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I just praise God for answering. Amen. Thank you, Norma. Those are wonderful updates. And keep praying, church. The Lord is blessing. And we pray not only for Bob and his family, we pray for Norma and the burdens that you carry as you minister to him through prayer and many other ways. So thank you for that update. And wonderful. We give God praise and we thank him for that. We take a minute, even right now, and just thank the Lord, and we'll pray for Bob. Father, even as we begin this evening, Lord, we just love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And Lord, we understand that sometimes life takes us places we don't expect to go, but thank you that you know about these things. And so we just want to give you praise tonight for these answered prayers, and we want to ask that you continue to minister to Bob, his health, and for his family, Lord, and for Norma. We just give you praise tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Norma. Wonderful. Zach, it reminds me of Zach, too. We've seen some answered prayers there, and the young man, Zach, we've been praying for, Zach and Sarah, some of his family were here for a little bit. Anyway, God is working there in his body. It seems he's coming around a little bit, so we praise the Lord for that. Anybody else have a word of testimony tonight or a praise note or anything you'd like to share? Yes, sir. Yep, Jerry, sorry, yeah.
My arms, my legs. Jesus. I couldn't do nothing without it. I couldn't even walk. My legs were like rubber, and it was a. And after a couple of days, I was hungry. And I figured, what am I going to eat? And I went in the kitchen. I figured I'm going to make some scrambled eggs. And that was all right because my hands were ready for that. And the frying pan was all over the stove. And it finally cooked to my liking. Now it was how to eat it. I couldn't use it. Stand up, and I took that frying pan and sat on the chair and ate it with my hand, trying to find my mouth. That, those days you don't forget, because the Lord was showing me, it's okay, Jerry, we're going to go through this. That's the reassurance I had. Amen. For the first time in my life, I never was reassured of anything. You know, it wasn't the alcohol I was lacking after he heard me the night before. It was healing my body. That was the next thing. And I figured. And every hour, I seen 2 days, and I kept talking to the Lord. I said, why are you helping me? Why am I going through this and you're willing to help me. My mouth, every time I said Jesus Christ, it was to swear. All my life, I blamed him for everything. If a day wasn't right, he sure knew about it. And I wasn't asking no favors. And that first day, second day, I was afraid to call him Jesus. Because all my life, the word Jesus Christ wasn't to praise him. And that's where I was. And as time went by, I started feeling my body, my heart was trying to get out of my chest. It was slowing down some and this and that. And I started walking around the house a little bit. He never left me. He was there day and night, and there were long nights. And he was there beside me, my friend, the only friend I've ever had up to that time. That was faithful. He was loving. He was caring. And I felt that. I felt everything he. And every morning and every day, I still ask him for that same strength, because I know my strength.
Amen.
I'm very weak. I'm weak. And I'll admit it to anybody. What he did for me at that time. And you know, a year later, me and Everett, we got married. We had a house. We had a job. The Lord provided the only job that I could possibly ask for. Because I didn't have much education, but he knew what I needed. And it's been like that since I was 39 years old.
Wow.
And every day beside me.
Amen.
That's my friend. But tonight you know who my best friend is.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that, brother, for sharing your heart. And it's so important for us to hear that God can deliver us. God can deliver us from the things that people feel is absolutely hopeless. There's no one that can help me. Even God, I've heard people say, even God can't help me with this. It's not true. Yes, he can. Not easy, but knowing that he is with us through it all. And I appreciate that.
the reminder that he makes a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. And I thought about the verse as well. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And it's not always easy to do that, but God is faithful. And he's there to carry us and to lift us up. And praise the Lord. Thank you, brother, for sharing that. We love you folks, both Everett and Jerry. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. How many dangers that we didn't even know about, you know, the Lord keeps us safe, especially someone in those situations. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? What a testimony. And she's didn't really know what to say to him. She said, "Well, I can't." But that's how God works.
Amen.
And that's the miracle, because it's just a headache to get all this stuff or debit cards or credit.
Oh yeah.
$100 in it and the money, and that's not the big deal, but
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Those are big deals. I know what it's. We know what it's like. You lose your wallet today, it's not a small thing. It's a hassle and even potentially a danger if somebody gets it that we don't want them to. Praise the Lord. Thank you, folks, for sharing that. God is good. He cares. We serve a God that cares about those things. He's not up there going, don't bother me with that foolishness. He cares. He's a loving Father. And it honors him when we speak to him about those things. Yes, sir. Amen. It's neat when you run into another Christian.
It was a group from Bucktush.
Oh, okay.
Christian school choir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Neat.
I almost got left behind.
Yeah.
I got to talk to them. We got to go.
It's neat when we do that, when you run into somebody and then through just the events and a quick conversation, you come to find out you're believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's always neat when that happens. And the boldness of other people to share their faith and to talk openly about the Lord encourages us to do the same, you know. Yes, right.
Well, were they listening?
Yeah.
I could see them there.
Amen.
But just the way God works things out.
Yep, that's right.
He preaches about water and then we sing about it.
Yeah, there seems to be continuity sometimes that can only be explained that the Lord is involved. Praise the Lord. And that's why it's good to take a moment just to share. God is good. God is faithful. We need to hear one another. There some of you out there I've never heard your testimony in regards to when you were saved and those sorts of things. So it's encouraging. It's good for us to hear those things. Does somebody have their hand up? Oh. Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate you sharing, folks. And I know we all have something we would share, a list. And we'll save the rest for another day. I want to spend this the last few minutes that we have in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and explain a little bit the reason for asking for your testimonies. I guess I wanted a live and in-person demonstration of something that is a very powerful motivator and a wonderful opportunity to give God praise. And that is, we don't always, and it's not necessary to do it publicly. It's not about that. It's about having a heart filled with gratitude for God, despite the fears of life, despite the difficulties in life. A young woman by the name of Hannah is being picked on by another woman named Peninnah. She's brokenhearted. She doesn't understand why God has closed up her womb, why she is barren. She wants to have children. Year after year, she's reminded that she can't. And this is becoming something that is so overwhelming for her that the last time she goes to Shiloh to worship God, to sacrifice to God, and they were very faithful, this family, were very faithful in worshiping and doing as God instructed them to do. She was so brokenhearted over this desire to have children and so moved by her need to cry out to God that the priest Eli thought she must have been drunk. Because her mouth was moving and she was behaving in a way that didn't make sense to him. And she had to set him straight. No, I'm not drunk. I'm crying out to God. I'm pouring my heart out to God. And God heard her prayers that day. And she went home and God answered her prayers and she conceived. And she said to her husband, I'm not going back until the child is weaned. Elkanah went up. Probably 3-4 years, and this is sort of guesswork, but some would suggest that a child is weaned in this day and age about 3-4 years old. But we know that Samuel would have been young, just still a child. And now we come to chapter 2, and just before we read the first verse in chapter 2, we'll start here in verse 24, just to get a little bit of a background. Here's Hannah now coming, as she said she would, with her son Samuel. 3 bullocks, and she's heading to Shiloh to worship with her husband and her family. It says in verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Elkanah and Hannah, next I'll say Hanna-Barbera, are keeping their promise. They're keeping their promise, and they're bringing their child to put him in service of the Lord. And this was in itself a tremendous sacrifice. And you wonder about Hannah, this young mother, or this new mother who's finally received her petition. Her prayers have been answered. She has a child. The child's name is Samuel. And this child is now about the age of 4 years old or so. He's young. And here Hannah is keeping her promise. And she goes to Shiloh. She goes to the temple to worship and to present Samuel to Eli and to the Lord to say, here, thank you. Here's my child. And so the question that I asked, I think it's natural for us to sort of wonder, well, was she bitter? Was she upset? Was she wrestling with this? Did she struggle with keeping her promise? Did she have a hard time with this? Is this even fair that God would require this? Did God require this? And so as we sort of wonder and surmise about the way in which this might have unfolded and what people felt like and how they were able to handle this, I think it's very clear within the text how Hannah felt. And so just as we heard tonight, different ones stand and share powerful testimonies to the glory of God, of the work that God is doing in our lives, big and small, Hannah takes an opportunity to do the very same thing. And I've titled the sermon, the guys, they asked me, you know, what's the title of your sermon so they can put it online and people can look for them and those sorts of things. So this evening's sermon title, you don't always hear them. You have to go online to find out because I usually don't even say. But it's Hannah's testimony. As I read chapter 2, at least the first portion of it, what I see is Hannah's testimony. This is referred to as a poem in some books, and some authors would say this is actually a poem or a song, and she's written it out, and likely she is speaking these words before worshipers here at the temple. So Hannah is not just coming and so eloquently, you know, pouring her heart out, but she has prepared this, and as she comes to present her son to the Lord, this is what she reads, this is what she states, this is what her heart feels like. And it's not filled with sorrow and remorse and regret and bitterness. It's filled with joy and it's filled with praise. And her testimony is an absolutely glowing example of the peace and the wonder and the power and the joy that God can bring into our lives. So let's just read here. Verse 1, it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth enlarged over mine enemies.'" And I'll tell you, as we read through this, you're going to see she takes some real liberties with what she says. And right off the bat, and you can tell this is in a lot of ways, as I said, this is Hebrew poetry, at least in this day and age. And the ways in which she describes God, in Hebrew poetry, when they would write, they didn't rhyme their words, they rhymed their ideas. So you'll see the same concept several times. And right off the bat, she says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." I am happy. This isn't a sad day for her. This is a day of rejoicing. God has answered her prayers. And not only has he provided her with a son and Elkanah with a son between them, but she's offering him up to the service of the Lord. And I'll tell you, nothing gives, I believe, I'll speak maybe from my own personal experience, but one of the things that gives me great joy in my life and great hope is when my children are walking with the Lord. And I know that's not always easy, and that's a struggle. I know there were days when I was younger. I certainly always wasn't. But when we see our loved ones or our children in some way being turned over to the Lord, even if it's we ourselves praying and turning our children over to the Lord, this is what Hannah did. She submitted her child to the Lord. She turned him over to the Lord and said, "Lord, you look after him. You raise him. You see to his needs. You provide for him." And this is exactly her attitude, is one of joy in being able to do this. Because she's not just giving her son up to some old vagabond down the road. This is into the Lord's care she is offering up her son. So this is a day of rejoicing for her that she has a son that she can bring to the Lord and say, "God, use him for your glory and for your honor." It says in the next part, "Mine horn is exalted." Horn, of course, biblically is a picture of power and strength. She's saying that my strength has been exalted. I've been strengthened because of God's goodness to me. "My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." Some suggest this is referencing the boldness of her speech now that she has a child. And nobody can come against her and say, well, you're just barren. And in these days, that was a big deal if you weren't able to bring a child into the world. And people would speak ill of you and look down upon you. And so now she has boldness. She can speak with boldness. Interestingly, others suggest that it's speaking of essentially smiling at her enemies, enlarging her mouth in a smile and saying, ha, you can't make fun of me anymore. God has delivered me from that. It says in verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord. This is her testimony. This is her attitude. As she comes before God, as she worships here in Shiloh before Eli and the others there, as she stands before the worshipers, she says, none is holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like unto our God. Essentially, she says the same things three times again in a row. And so she gives God glory. There is none like God. There is none holy like God. There was none beside thee. He is God alone, and he is a rock, strong and steady and consistent. She gives him glory. And she really ramps it up here in the next few verses as she begins to demonstrate a truth that we already know. She says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And some suggest perhaps she was thinking about Penaniah when she said those words. Maybe she was. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. God knows when we're being faithful. God knows when we're being sincere. You know, it's what we do that gives what we say value. And that's what she essentially was saying. Talk is cheap. God pays attention. He knows when we're being sincere. And God knows and knew of my sincerity. Verse 4, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. You know, sometimes God flips the script. And those that have it hard don't any longer. Those that have it easy don't anymore. And we see that as she states that in different ways. In verse 5, they that are or that were full have hired themselves out for bread. Those that used to have lots of food now are doing whatever they can to feed themselves. And they that were hungry ceased from being hungry. So that the barren hath borne 7. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low. He lifteth up. And again, she is declaring her testimony and her praise for God, and stating truth on behalf of God. And sometimes, as I said, he flips the script. And she is in that situation. I have cried out to God, and God has heard my prayers. And I'm here today in demonstration of God's answered prayers. Here's my son, and I'm offering him up. And so she states in verse 8, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. So this is her testimony. And she is giving God praise. And she is not bitter, she's not angry, she's not upset. And she is so overwhelmed with God's love for her. She's so thankful, she has so much gratitude that she can't resist praising God at this moment. In a day when maybe most would think, well, she's going to have a difficult time with this, this is going to be hard for her. But she left, I believe, the same way she arrived, rejoicing and thankful. Verse 9 and 10, just quickly as we close, it says, he will keep the feet of his saints, she says. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hannah gives her testimony. She gives God praise, she gives God thanks, and she demonstrates the joy that she has in her heart for God and for what God has done for her in answering her prayer. And by the way, I love that last line. When you read Genesis 49, Numbers, I'm not sure exactly where, it references the Messiah. And in one verse, it speaks in Genesis chapter 49 of Shiloh. and that Shiloh would come from the tribe of Judah. And the word Shiloh there, many believe, and I do as well, that it's a word that means Messiah. And again, in Numbers, it references one that would come that we know was and is, of course, the Messiah. And so it's so interesting to hear Hannah end this testimony, this statement, this song, this prayer with this phrase, "And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." You know, the word anointed there is interesting because in Greek, the word anointed is translated to Christos or Christ. And in the Hebrew, the word anointed is translated Messiah. And that's exactly who she's speaking about. She's speaking of the coming Messiah. And I love the fact that in Luke chapter 1, it's Zacharias. No, excuse me. It's either Zacharias or Elizabeth. I'm not sure. You'd have to read it to correct me on that. But one of them references this verse, actually quotes the horn of his anointed. It must be, maybe it's Mary, maybe it's Elizabeth, I'm not sure. But it's so neat to see here Hannah ending this little testimony referencing the Messiah, the anointed, Christos, Jesus Christ, all these years earlier. Anyway, this was Hannah's testimony. And again, it's one of those things that you look at and you think, well, there's not a whole lot here. Let's just get through it as quickly as we can and move on to more interesting things. But no way. This woman was strong, powerful, and she tapped into the Lord Jesus Christ, or excuse me, to the Lord God, and she drew on that power. She trusted in him. He answered her prayers. And I love the fact that she is sharing her testimony in church, as it were. And we get to listen to her testimony and give God all the praise and all the credit and all the glory. And it's nice to be able to eavesdrop on that from time to time. So just a few more things in regards to Samuel, and we'll pick it up here again next week. Father, thank you for the day. Lord, excuse me for rushing through some of these things tonight, stumbling over my words, but God, what a blessing. We just are so thankful, as even we were referencing earlier, the continuity and the way that you teach us and the way that, Lord, you organize the things around us in our lives in regards to service and ministry and song and teaching and preaching and different verses that we might read on certain days that line up with other things have or people have said to us. And we just see so much of what you do in our lives. Thank you for being involved. Thank you for hearing our cries. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love to us, the same way in which you showed grace and love to Hannah and answered her cries, her prayers unto you. And thank you, Lord, that each of us, as sinners saved by grace, children of God, followers of Jesus Christ, we have testimonies that we can share. And Lord, what is a testimony but an opportunity to give you praise and give you glory and point others to the hope that is our Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you all, Father. So we thank you so much for the day and for all the reminders. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our hearts. We pray for your blessing as we leave. Give us journeys, mercies. Use us this week, Lord, as there's a lot of busyness, so give us strength and wisdom and protection, Lord, but help us just to enjoy the things that we get to do for your glory and honor. We love you. We thank you for the day. We ask for your blessing as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, church. We're going to go ahead and close by singing